12 minutes away from 11 o'clock on Friday, the Australian flag will have its biggest outing of the year. But what are you allowed to do with the flag? And what's a big no-no, perhaps, in our regular segment, Why Wednesday? We'll look at the big questions about life, about science, about health, the world we live in, and sometimes just quirky facts of life that are begging to be explored. Today, we're going to look at flag protocols. John Vaughan is a vexillographer, which means he knows a thing or two about flags. Hi, John.
Hi, Rachel. What a great day for flying the flag.
I'm not wrong in thinking there's some do's and don'ts around the Australian flag, am I?
Well, indeed. But look, it's all about the etiquette of the flag. You know, the flag by law, custom and tradition is the chief national symbol of Australia. So it outranks the coat of arms, which belongs to the federal government. The flag, however, belongs to you, me and every other Australian citizen. No matter what your race, colour, religion, sex, anything, it is your flag. So you treat it with pride and you treat it with dignity. So on that basis, you know, the flag should always be in good order, not faded or tattered and torn. It should be raised in the morning around 8 o'clock if you've, got your stopwatch with you. But any time at all, you can actually raise the flag as long as it's done in a dignified way. And the flagpole you put it up should be in good order too and looking smart. And you hoist it right up to what they call the truck, which is the top of the flagpole, a cap at the top of the flagpole. And you keep the halyard, that is the rope that holds it up, taut, and you tie it off on what's called a cleat, which is sort of a nautical term for a tying point. And of course, if you do those sorts of things and take it down at sunset, you're treating the flag the right way and you're respecting your fellow citizens, because that's what our flag of stars and crosses represents.
Mm. So there's a couple of do's about raising and bringing down the flag again at the end of the day. So it's not a good idea to fly it throughout the night.
No, look, the sun should never set on the flag unless, and there's always a proviso, you fully illuminate the flag at night. Now, that custom and tradition started here in Canberra at Parliament House, or on the site of where Parliament House currently is. And the idea was that you could fly it 24/7, and as long as you had bright spotlights on the flag, and it looks beautiful at night under the right lighting. And so there is that provision that you can do it. But it's not just a local telegraph pole with a bit of a light or, you know, someone's, spotlight from the back yard. It should be properly done if you're going to fly it through the night.
What about the rule about it touching the ground?
Okay, well, look, certainly... it comes back to dignity of the flag. When you bring the flag down, you know, and you're sort of catching the flag as it comes down the flagpole, you try and hold it in one hand while you pull the rope, the halyard, with the other one, and you put it over your shoulder or something like that so the flag doesn't hit the ground, because it's not a very nice symbolic thing to do, is to have your flag on the ground in the dirt or on the lawn or wherever else. Once again, it's about the dignity of the flag and what it represents, the important things. Mm. You know, the other thing too is that in Australia we're unique because we had a public competition in the year 1900, concluding in 1901, and this public competition called for a flag for the new Commonwealth of Australia. It was the year of federation when we became a nation. And as a consequence, a private company called the Review of Reviews, a magazine, like a Reader's Digest style magazine, started the competition with the editor actually asking for flag designs. And he said it need not be fettered, that is marred by having to have stars or crosses or whatever else. Just whatever you think's appropriate for a new nation, the Commonwealth of Australia. And in came a total of 32,823 entries. And, of course, the infant Commonwealth government of the day, they were just getting their foot on the first rung of the ladder. They said, whoa, this is very popular. So they took over the competition and ran it. And five people were awarded first prize because they came up with identical designs. And one of those people was proudly a West Australian, and her name was Annie Dorrington, and she was an artist from Perth, and she actually was, or still is, well known for her paintings and drawings of native flowers and floral arrangements. And of course, she was in her late 20s at the time. And another one of the winners was a teenage boy, age 14, from Melbourne. His name was Ivor Evans. And he actually recorded back in the 1950s and 60s his part in the design competition. And it was posted here in the Mitchell Library, which now, of course, is Vital Records on how the competition was run. And sure enough, it didn't have to have the Union Jack or the Southern Cross on the flag, but when the judges saw that most of the flags did have both those devices or emblems, they thought, well, that's appropriate. And the only other symbol they were looking for was a symbol of federation. And so came a seven-pointed star underneath the Union Jack on the flag, which represents the six states uniting together to become the Commonwealth of Australia. So when the flag was actually approved, it had only 6 points on that star. But eventually in 1908, they made it seven to cover all our federal territories as well. That's how we got our flag.
You're hearing from John Vaughan. He's a vexillographer, flag expert. And we're talking to him today about the Australian flag and what are the do's and don'ts. What do you need to know about the Australian flag ahead of this coming Australia Day on Friday. John, it seems a little odd to me that we have these protocols that are about respect for the flag, but then, you know, you can have a stubby cooler with the Australian flag on it.
Yeah, well, look, you can't account for some bad taste, I'm afraid, and it is rather insulting to see the flag, you know, reproduced on such things. However, you know, in Australia, look, we get really excited about things like Australia Day and other national days. So we get probably a little bit over-enthusiastic. So I will forgive them on this occasion because the intention's good, and that is to promote unity with all our people, all Australian citizens. You know, whatever their background doesn't matter, whatever their age doesn't matter, whatever their sex doesn't matter, whatever their colour or religion doesn't matter. That flag represents all of us together. And of course, we do see most people do the right thing and they fly the flag on, you know, the land on a flagpole or on a boat or, you know, even as a car flag. You can actually buy car flags for Australia Day and wind them up in your windows on your car and fly the flag wherever you go.
I've seen those. There's a few of them flying around in Kalgoorlie I've spotted.
Good.
John, do you have an Australian flag in your collection?
Look, I do. In fact, I've got a flagpole out the front yard here, and I haven't missed flying the flag since 1975. That's every day I put the flag up, and I keep it in very good order. But look, anyone that's learning the ropes about flying the flag, there's a brilliant little secret I'll let you into. There's a fabulous book that's available free from your federal member of parliament, and it's called Australian Flags. It's quite an expensive booklet, but as I said, you get yours for free. And it's about all the flag protocol, etiquette, flag history. It covers the Torres Strait Islander and the Aboriginal flags, the state flags. They're all in that little booklet, or big booklet, I should say. So you just ask your federal member of parliament or your state senator, and they must give you a free copy. And it's virtually got every answer to every question you might have.
That's a very good tip to end on. Thanks very much, John.
Well, look, in the meantime, there's also the Australian National Flag Association and a website, australianflag.org.au, if you want to have more information. But look, I'll leave you with a message. Keep your flag flying.
Thanks, John. Always a pleasure.
Bye.
That's John Vaughan there. He's a vexillographer with all the info on what you should and shouldn't do if you're handling an Australian flag. Good to know with Australia Day coming up on Friday. It sounds like you should be able to get down to our local members' office, Rick Wilson, and request that booklet. So if you do go ahead and request that booklet,